from Studio 65 of the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 19 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and Canuck, Pan, and I are back once again to talk about all things Ottawa Senators, as well as other things around the league. The team's cooled off a little bit, but they're still in the middle of a very big crowd of teams fighting for two wild card spots in the East. As always, we welcome your email at podcast@sensecallups.com. You can find us on Twitter and in the online forums at sensunderground.com. Boys, right now, Russell's down in Jamaica. He's probably drunk, and he's warmer than we are here. I'm not bitter. What about you?
Well, I don't think him being in Jamaica or him being here has any difference with him being drunk.
Strong point.
Hashtag self-employed.
Oh, Russell, we're just jealous because you're warm and it's just another cold week here. Canuck, how are you?
I've got the man cold. You're going to have to go on without me.
Okay, so that means no sound clips for tonight. This will be a quick podcast.
Yeah, he's got to replace his voice with sound clips.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no.
Canuck's a little bit under the weather.
Yeah. Yes. It's been pretty crazy at work and stuff, and the cold finally caught up with me. But anyway, that's life.
Yeah,
that's
all right. It's the season, right?
Exactly.
It's also the season with the weird temperatures going up and down.
Exactly. Either that or we can get Mac Bitch in to replace you. Is that what you're going to do?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
That's a throwback.
Exactly to about season three of the Underground. Well done. Before we start, I had a quick question, which we didn't get into last week because I forgot. Pan, how was your ice fishing experience? Because I have some ice fishing stories too.
It was cold and boring. So I took the Friday off and we went down to my buddy's cottage. Nice place. It was great just to relax for once. Mm-hmm. The only thing with me, when I relax, I fall asleep.
So, where's the problem?
Not at any time.
Yeah? Where's the problem?
Well, I don't know. But,
I'm
so, one,
you.
I don't like being outside. Two, I don't like the cold. Three, I don't like the heat. And so, we go with my buddy, and they come to pick me up at home. And first thing I see is that, his English sheepdog is coming with us.
Right on.
Okay. So I go in, sit in the back of the car, little guy, so I have to sit with the giant dog.
Oh, I'd be there.
As I sit down, he licks my face.
Yeah? Because
I have no hair, he doesn't know where the face ends. So, I'm just trying to buckle in, and all you hear is like, yeah, all down here, onto my scalp.
Just saying hello.
Yeah, so I was like, this weekend's going to go great.
Absolutely.
So, we went down the Friday, dug a hole, and...
Now, were you fishing in open ice, or was there
open
a hut?
Ice.
Oh, okay. So you had a bunch of holes, you augered a bunch of holes?
Yeah, that time we only did one, because I don't know.
Okay.
But, so we throw down the line with the hook, you hit bottom, then you drag it up a bit. As it went down, my buddy that was setting down the line, he's just like, kind of feels like there's something on. You know what? I probably just caught bottom.
Live bait or jig or lure or what?
It was some bait. I don't think it was live.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, if it's live, it would be wiggling.
It's
know.
Not hockey or finance. I got no freaking clue.
All right.
But anyway, so we were there for, I don't know, a couple hours.
Right.
Like, okay, let's just go. We didn't think we were going to grab anything. So we pull up the line, pack up the stuff. There's no hook at the end of the line.
Oh, no.
So we sat outside for a good 2 hours.
On a line with no hook on it.
Yeah, just looking at a string.
Did you have fun?
Did you have
beer? It was relaxed. The cottage was nice.
Good.
The phone, I mentioned this last week, but the phone didn't work. And
that's how that helps you relax.
So I've tried it.
Yeah.
Let's go find something else to do.
Okay. Well, you see, my ice fishing experience was a little different, and it might have been a bit more on the exciting side of what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah. Did you catch fish?
Not exactly.
So, no.
Okay. My ice fishing experience was we actually had a hut out on the ice. So we had a stove in it. The hut was big enough for 8 people. The hole in the floor is 4 feet by 2 feet, and that's how big the hole through the ice is. And there's a stove in it, so we were actually in just like a heavy shirt, and that's it, because it was warm enough inside. Even with the door open,
wow.
It was warm enough inside that it's all insulated. It was beautiful. So we were fishing with live bait, because you're allowed to do that in the Ottawa River.
Okay.
And you just put the hook in right behind the dorsal fin, and then the fish can swim around. And we put them in, and then, well, while you're waiting for somebody to come along, you can find something else to do. So I hopped on the snow machine and went tearing off down the lake, down the creek, down another lake, and then turned around and came back. That's a lot of fun because it's this big, wide, open, flat surface, so you can crank the snow machine up and get it going as fast as your confidence will let you go. I ran out of nerve before I ran out of acceleration, and I was probably doing about 90 kilometers. Ever done 90 kilometers on a snow machine?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can barely drive 90 kilometers an hour after the accident.
It's pretty intense. It's a lot of fun.
More than 20 minutes still in the car. I'm getting better now.
Oh, it was. I had a lot of fun, though. Yeah. I had a good time. And the cottage I was in, again, my phone doesn't work up there. I just turn it off when I get up there. It was fine. Wood stove keeps us warm. Solar panels for electricity and melt snow for water. It was great. Yeah. I loved it.
It was like -2, -3.
Oh, yeah. It was not last weekend, but the weekend before. It was gorgeous out. So we were outside for hours. It was great. Yeah,
if it was like this weekend that just passed,
a little different.
I don't think I would either be as happy about it or alive.
Well, they see that again. That's why you need a little hut to go ice fishing, because we would have been toasty, toasty warm in there with the stove and the insulation and everything. But all right, enough ice fishing stories. We got some game recaps to do.
Game on!
Game 51 was last Thursday, January 23rd. The Senators were in Florida visiting the Lightning. And you have the recap for this.
I got charged an overdraft protection fee. We're trying to like ramp up for the show today. It's like, I don't remember what I did this week. So I just honestly tried to go through my banking transactions. Anyway. Sends it bolts.
Your life is way too linear. He just gave me the sad, ironic eyes. Yes, yep. It is.
Hi, ladies. Sunset Bolts, Andy and Bishop in. I thought Leonard was actually going to get a shot at this game, but it'd be a good face-off with him versus Bishop. But with the back-to-back games canceled, Andy gets a start. Mathod out as a healthy scratch after complaining about being out the previous game. Yeah.
That was a little weird. I'll give you that.
You just don't talk against a coach.
Strong
advice,
that.
That's exactly what it was.
Strong advice, that. Yep. Yeah,
so I wasn't surprised when it's a guy and he's going to sit again. And then he came out and just said, you know what? It's coach's decision, and I respect that.
The correct answer.
Mathod got Myth yelled at.
Did you notice what the starting lineup was?
No.
I did. I wrote it down because I thought it was very strange.
Was it the Terse line?
No. Smith, Spezza, Condra.
Interesting. So
the second line.
Kinda. Where's because the Zibanejad line?
Was that one blown up yet?
I don't know. Well, not back then. It was still together.
Oh, so he always starts the third line then.
Or the fourth line, depending on how you want to put them out there.
Oh, I know what it is. Smith is a key in this then.
Maybe. Anyway, sorry. I didn't want to screw up on
jump
that
jump on in. It's free.
I got a couple. Yeah.
First part of the game, Tampa absolutely dominates the game. I think it's about 4 minutes in. Neil decides to take control of the game. Drops his gloves with Crombie. At this point, the shots were 11-4, something like that for Tampa.
He basically woke up the Senators.
Yeah.
It was just domination.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. Tampa finally starts scoring at 14:32 of the first, but Carlson gets one back 40 seconds later. Period ends, shots 17-12, still for Tampa, but evening out the shots after that fight. Momentum can't be kept, though, as Crombie scores at 3:30 of the second period, and the Sens going around and around and around in their zone. Matt gets a late goal for tucking in five-hole behind Bishop. That's great dig sweet. Great dig by the line there, too.
That power play goal by MacArthur, that was delay, 5-hole.
Yep.
It was beautiful.
Start of the third, unless you have anything else.
Nope.
Start of the third, CeCe loses his man in the back door. 3-2 Bolts. With less than 3 minutes left on the clock, the Greeting Smith Neil line comes out. And boy, is that ever the right choice. I'm going to do my best stuntman here. Chris Neil, with his 100th career goal, steals a point for the Sens.
Yeah. That was an ugly, pretty goal.
Yeah.
A pretty ugly goal. It was ugly, but it was also pretty. It's just a
fantastic reaction by him, too. Yeah. Not the best gif of Chris Neil in the week, though. But.
I think at this point, I actually tuned into the game. Because I missed this. I was playing ball hockey with Shredder on Thursday.
Were you in the can?
I was not in the can.
He was on the bench.
I was in the gym.
Overtime. Okay. Molar Doctor's going to get a lot of props out in this episode.
Boom.
Which is annoying.
Props?
Because it's Molar Doctor. Well, mentions. Let's downgrade that to mentions. Mm. So Molar Doctor was bugging us. There's no other word for it. In regards to mentioning that Ottawa's bad 4-on-4. I wasn't sure about this.
Did you do some math?
Didn't really look at it. No, I can't look. I can't figure that out.
Okay.
But after watching that overtime, oh, he's right.
Yeah.
He's really, really right.
That we're bad 4-on-4.
Bad 4-on-4. The 4-on-3 after the CCBS call.
Yeah.
They were better. They were pointing all over the place, but they were better.
Yeah, that CC penalty in overtime when Tampa player
hooked
tripped
his
on
his guy?
His teammate's stick is what he tripped on, and it was the ref who was on the other. It was happening on one side of the goal, and it was the ref on the other side of the goal who called it, not the one up high on the other side of the blue line who can actually see the play. It was one who couldn't see the play and presumed what it was.
I hate it when they do that.
Rookie. It was his sixth NHL game that he was working.
No.
Don't worry, his name will come back.
Okay. Good to know. In the shootout, Kucherov scores for the Lightning. Zibat, Spets, and Turris shoot. No goals. I believe all of them went 5-hole. I pre-scouted it saying blocker side high, but no one listens to me.
It's Ben Bishop. I mean, he is strong in a shootout.
He is. Well, he's also big.
He wasn't that great last time. Your last year with us, he was not fantastic.
Well, he was better than the other two in shootouts. Mm-hmm. They were talking about the numbers for him.
You know what it was? We were scoring.
No, but they were talking about his shootout abilities last year.
Again, today. Zibad, Spezza, Turris, shoot. No one scores. You're not going to win. One goal.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Bishop. I think it's a sense.
Well, I was wondering why they didn't put Bobby Ryan out. Now, I know that he hasn't done well in shootouts earlier in the season.
Neither Spezza or Turris.
But Bishop knows Spezza and Turris. He knows their tendencies because he played with them last year. He doesn't know Bobby Ryan's tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, fair point.
Why not put out Bobby Ryan? And I was wondering that one.
MacArthur,
but
actually.
Well, the tendencies go both ways, right? Because they might know the shooter's tendency, but they might know the goalie's tendency. So.
Yeah, they do cancel each other out. But
just tell the other guys, right? Yeah. The coaches know these things.
Yeah.
Or like blocker side high, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I should have shot on him.
Anyway.
I almost scored on Evan. Almost. I did like, but the thing with this is Spets and Turris did two very different things than what they normally do.
Very.
Spets had tried to do that off speed play, but when you're not really that fast anymore, it's going slow to slower.
And Turris went for a sandwich on the sideline, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I think he picked up a hot dog from the vendor.
Yeah, cheesecake. Yeah. Cheesecake.
Oh, cheesecake. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So basically, summary of that game, this game was just being beat by a much better team.
And a very hot goalie. And a very, very hot goalie, too, which doesn't help.
Sucks!
Yeah, there we go. Game 52. Now, however, I have one quick post-game informational tidbit before we move on to game 52. Phil Esposito. Mm. Kind of a big name in hockey.
Yep.
One of the founders of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's now their radio color guy. Okay.
That's well, he was down the organization.
Well, he was involved in the original bid, and the team's been sold
a
couple
GM,
of times.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. The team's been sold a couple of times since then. He's still working as the radio color guy. When he was leaving the broadcast booth, he was leaving at the same time as Dave the Voice Schreiber. Mm. And he turned to the voice, slapped him on his back, and said, "Of Erik Karlsson, that's the best defenseman I've seen since Bobby Orr." Phil Esposito played with Bobby Orr.
Yeah. That's a pretty big compliment.
That's a pretty big compliment. I mean, if he's played with Bobby Orr and he's comparing him to him.
And the fact that Carlson can hit now.
Yeah, he's throwing them once in a while. Yeah.
Like that just brings such a different element to his game.
I know. But I just thought that was, I don't remember where I heard this. I was on the radio, I think, but I thought it was such a good quote that I had to mention it.
Mm. Well, it's true because Bobby Orr had that speed in the time of the league where speed stood out, right?
And exactly.
He could dance around. Maybe someone slightly more recent would be Paul Coffey, who has had a kind of offensive, high-scoring defenseman.
Yeah, I think that's been the most talked about
comparison. Yeah.
Gonchar. He's better than Gonchar, but...
I think they're different.
Gonchar was always second in points against Lidstrom.
And Gonchar was a setup guy. And Carlson is a setup guy who's also a finisher. He can do it. Man, oh, there's nobody to pass to? I'll take the shot myself.
Gonchar had this one play, especially on the point where he could cycle on his own and just move from the point to the center of the ice or the center of the back, and then everyone just shifted around him. Did really well in Pittsburgh doing that, granted, when you're... Yeah, screw up the shot and Malkin and Crosby pick it up. That's different, but
you're getting a lot of assists.
He didn't get to do that a lot this with Ottawa.
Nope. I just thought that was a great quote from a hockey great. I mean, a legend.
It's a good endorsement.
Exactly right. Next game. This is going to be a quick summary. Game 52, Saturday, January 25th. The Sens were in Raleigh to play the Hurricanes at noon.
We have a good record in Raleigh, right?
And noon games or early afternoon games for sure.
I was at a three-year-old's birthday party. What did I miss?
Nothing.
Okay.
This will be quick. The refs were, this is how this game starts out. The refs were Tim Peel and Graham Skilleter. And you ask, who's Graham Skilleter? That's the rookie who called the CC penalty.
Shut it off right there.
This game was not one of Leonard's finest. His first goal that he let in off Gerby was a real stinker because Gerby was on the goal line and basically shot it in off Leonard's leg.
And didn't Cowan get beat by Gerby?
Not in this game. That was a different game.
Oh, that was another one?
That was a different point. Basically, this... and the game just sort of went downhill from there. I was working on a project in the second period. I didn't get a chance to take any notes. In the third period...
Neither did the Sens, apparently.
Anderson starts for Leonard after Leonard let in 5 goals on 22 shots.
Again, and it's not Leonard versus Anderson. If you're not on, get out.
I agree.
It eventually did happen.
But there's a difference between...
The game's way out of hand at that point.
There's a difference between the goalie being not on and the team not being on. And there were some really, really bad goals in this game.
We have seen goalies get pulled just to shake up the whole team.
True. True.
So Montreal and Carolina, these were huge games for the Sens.
Yeah.
And if the guy's having a bad night, you're just going to suffer?
I think, it wasn't just the goalie who was having a bad night. The whole team had a bad night. They scored 3 goals, but doesn't matter.
As a coach, too, you're in a tough spot because Leonard hadn't played in a long time. And if you just kind of pull him because he makes a mistake or two, it's like you don't want to screw with his long-term confidence.
Exactly. So you have to leave him in there. I mean, just like Anderson in Montreal, they left him in there and he, after the first 3 goals, he made like 30 saves in a row kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he scored 2, though.
You got to kind of hold
it back in.
Yeah. It was bad. Basically, the team is 1-7-2 in early starts, and they are 0-11-1 in the last 12 games in Raleigh. Ouch.
Well, it's something like in 1-9-2,
0-11-1 in the last 12 in Raleigh.
Afternoon games, 1-8-2.
Yeah, 1-8-2 now.
Mm-hmm. So when you're doing statistics and you multiply that stat by the other stat...
Stop the afternoon games.
You might as well put the black jerseys on.
Yeah, sure. And put it on and make it a national broadcast too while you're at it.
Third period.
Oh, no, that's it. I'm done with that game. I got nothing left to talk about on that one. It was not worth talking about.
This reminds me of one of the old underground episodes when Stewie just interrupted Russell and just said, you know what? Kane's 4-0. Move on. He's like, I just did all my notes.
Pretty much. I didn't have that many notes. I was trying to take notes, but I was trying to do other things at the same time. Game 53.
And it's free.
Exactly right. Game 53.
And I don't think anyone wants to hear about that game again.
Let's move on from it, that's for sure. Game 53 was last night, Tuesday, January 28th. The Sens were in Columbus to play the Blue Jackets. And this was, I got to say, overall, a pretty entertaining game. It wasn't exciting, necessarily. I don't have a lot of notes for a lot of the game.
Good hockey?
Reasonably.
Yeah.
It was reasonably entertaining. The team, the Senators had some bad time lapses, like the second half of the first period and a few other points in the game. But overall, it was a pretty entertaining game to watch.
You know what I found about this game? I think the referees completely misunderstood this 5 cents per tweet thing for Bell Let's Talk Day, because they were calling lots of penalties, blowing the whistle and tweeting it. You didn't notice that?
No.
Power play, penalty.
Oh, I see. Now
I didn't get that tweet when you mentioned it.
They're tweeting. 5 cents a tweet.
Oh, tweeting of the whistle. Now I get it. I'm sorry. I just didn't pick up what you were setting down. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the show, Canuck.
I'll just go back in my corner.
No, that's on me. I should have been able to decode this. I've been working with you long enough. I should have been able to figure it out.
I didn't get that one either.
All right. Game 53, Sens of the Blue Jackets. Anderson's in. Phillips is out.
With
Wierkosh in as a replacement, which I thought was interesting. Corvo and Cassian are healthy scratches.
Yay!
Get
off my team!
Starting lineup was the tourist line. You'll be happy to hear.
Good. I missed this because there's a friggin' 7 p.m. start. I thought it was 7:30. I was at a retirement party.
It's in Columbus. It's not here.
No, but normally it's 7:30, right?
It's 7:30 here. Usually away at 7.
No, it's...
Here.
It's not a half hour difference.
A lot of them are 7 o'clock in other
cities. Mostly 7 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Well, the arenas are more central.
It's true, though. If you take a look at where the city is, like, say, Toronto, 7 p.m. start, because people are downtown, they want to kind of keep them there after work. And same thing with Washington. You know, it's right downtown. They try to do 7 o'clock start. Yeah. Usually the ones in the suburbs, they push it to 7:30.
So Phoenix has them at 8:30 local time, right? Because it takes so long to get to Glendale.
Is it 8:30 local?
I don't
local?
Know. I'm just making that up. Oh. Sorry.
Well, we're what? A mere 87 kilometers from downtown.
87 right? kilometers. That's right.
Hope your show went well.
Anyway, this game was... There was a lot of entertaining hockey going on, but there wasn't anything really to note down a lot of note. I didn't write a lot of notes on it because it was entertaining to watch, but there wasn't a whole lot going on. Stefan DaCosta got his first goal of the season as a power play goal at 8:06 of the first period.
What? Didn't see it. Didn't happen.
Exactly. From McCulloch and Carlson. And I have to say, McCulloch was really moving around the ice tonight. It's almost like his cornering ability is starting to come back, because he's been really fast in a straight line for a lot of this season, but he hasn't been able to turn. It's kind of like an American muscle car. And it's almost like someone's improving his suspension system or giving him better tires or something, because he's been able to turn better.
Maybe he got better socks.
Maybe. I don't know. Columbus was blocking a lot of shots in this game, but the Sens are getting a lot of offensive zone time. The end of the first period, the Senators had a lot of zone time, good puck possession time. They had made 25 shots at the net, 10 were blocked, 4 were missed, 4 missed the net, and they hit the net with 11. So is that good, Corsi?
It's good, Corsi.
Is a block shot count good for Corsi?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out this blinking statistic.
Wait for it.
Okay, good. After the first period, the shots on goal were 13-11 for Columbus. Columbus is beating us in the faceoff dot, and that's going to get worse as the game goes on. This was not a good faceoff game for the Ottawa Senators.
Is it Umberger? I don't even know this team.
I didn't actually write down their... I only wrote down ours. But
I keep thinking they're in the West, too. It's like, wow.
In the second period, at the 6-minute, 24-second mark, Stefan DaCosta gets his second goal of the game.
What? I was in the can, didn't see it, didn't happen. Call-ups typical.
With assists to Spezza and Koniger. It was... just one of those things that sort of happened.
So Spencer was Snow White and the Two Dwarves in that?
I don't know. Well, kind of. Yeah. No, Costa's not that small.
Oh, he's just a little baby face.
But he's not small. He's not small like Conacher. No, he's not small, though. Anyway, Spezza gets a penalty at 11:02, and Columbus makes them pay with Atkinson getting a power play go at the 12-minute mark. It was an easy tap in after Anderson made the first two saves.
He's got the high forehead, right? Da Costa?
Oh,
the helmet high?
Yeah.
Bulbous.
And the Peyton Manning kind of look there.
I'm shocked that his helmet can actually go on.
Yeah.
And this game suddenly became all Columbus. Columbus was just putting the boots to Ottawa, and the Sens were really back on their heels. A lot of penalties through the rest of the period. Right at the last the last 3 seconds of the period, Nitkanen gets a two-minute call for hooking Zibanejad, and Zibanejad gets 2 minutes unsportsmanlike for embellishment. Mm. That was the I'm going full speed down the boards, I get hooked, and I go down, but that's considered an embellishment penalty.
It's a chronic diet.
Weak call.
Which ref called that? Doesn't matter.
I didn't note that game. I didn't note that
call. I'll just blame Tim Peel.
Well, it was Tim Peel. Yeah, probably. I didn't write down who was in that game.
5 cents a tweet.
In 7:16 mark of the third period, James Wisniewski gets a power play goal to tie the game up. Columbus is now 2-for-4 on the power play. And at the 10-minute mark, it was noted that Columbus has already blocked 20 shots in this game, which is odd considering they're 25th in the league in blocked shots.
Plus 20 for Corsi.
Ottawa's 28th in the league for blocked shots.
For or against?
We're us blocking the other team's shots.
That's terrible, Corsi.
Yeah, not too good.
Why are we talking Corsi?
He's talking Corsi. I don't understand it. There we go. Anyway, at the 15-minute and 2-second mark, Spezza gets a power play goal to put the team ahead. It was a beautiful shot from a thought on the point, rebound to Greening, and McElhinney played Greening, figuring he was going to shoot, and Greening just over to Spezza, and it's in the net. Very last seconds of the game, Ryan cannot execute an empty net goal due to angle. Tourist's shots get blocked. It goes back to Cowan, and Cowan hits the post, unfortunately. And the thing is, the Twitterverse starts dumping on Cowan, but don't say a word about Tourist. Like getting a shot blocked when it's an open, you know, just lift it up and it'll go over the guy. Yeah, no.
Who cares?
Yeah, unreal.
You know what cares? Okay, let's just say that Ryan would have gotten that goal on the first shot.
I was hoping he'd get it, just maybe a confidence booster or something.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, that would have shut up Molar Doctor.
Anyway, the game ends.
Oh, no. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
So let's just say Ryan would have gotten that one shot goal.
Okay.
But he missed two. Was it Turris or MacArthur?
Turris was the one that was blocked.
Turris got one blocked, so that's three. And Cowan had a shot attempt and hit the post. That's four.
Uh-huh.
Your Corsi on that is plus four.
Yeah.
If you would have scored, it'd be plus one.
Fatal flaw in that stat.
Mm.
I'm starting to understand this Corsi thing. Thank you.
It's just a shot attempt. All it means is that you were able to control. It assumes offense only.
Ah.
And you're able to control the play by being the one that can take the most shots.
Well, you'll say this. They did miss the net, but they kept the puck in their own zone when they had their goalie pulled. So, I mean, that's a positive thing, right? You're keeping them hemmed in their own zone.
Oh, right? Yeah, defensively. But when you're just failing on burying the game.
It was the last seconds of the game. As long as they're at the far end of the ice, if they're 200 feet away from Anderson.
They were running out of time.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The ugly stats from this game was...
I think it's also maybe not trying to insult the other team either.
Well...
By really pushing forth, it's like, well, I'll just shoot whatever. I'm just clearing the zone.
Make the smart defensive play. If I miss it, you have to chase. That's fine, because that means you're not scoring.
Unless they get a Corsi bonus. According to Leonard, though, that is useless, but he is a goalie.
Whoop-de-doo. Shots were Columbus 36, Sens 28, but the really ugly stat of this game was face-offs. Columbus 43, Ottawa 25. DaCosta was 33%. Greening was 0 for 2. Zach Smith was 39%. Spezza was 47%. Turris was 26%. And Zibanejad only took 2 because he was a winger.
He was a wing that time.
Exactly. So... not so good in the face-off.
Pajot.
Maybe Columbus is just a good face-off team.
Pajot.
Don't need him.
No, I know. I'm just... Yeah, no, I agree. We're overloaded in centers.
That was bad. So that's the end of that game. Now, so we're finished talking about games.
Corsi and face-offs. That's what wins you games. Not that I'm the blogger of the year or anything.
Can I ask actually an honest question before we move on to the rest of the Senators stuff? Because you're talking Corsi. Oh. What's the difference between Corsi and Fenwick?
I believe. Sneeze,
Okay, never mind that question. That was not planned, and that was funnier than anything I could have come up with. Well done, sir. Well done.
I was waiting to. I don't even know.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what it is later.
Okay, thank you.
It's been that tree. Do you remember that statistic? It looks like a cross section of a tree.
No. Okay, we'll have to talk about this off air because we won't bore the listeners with listening to this.
Let me describe this really screwed up spreadsheet.
Let's not bother. There was a big Senators announcement today. One we were expecting. One we were looking forward to. Local broadcast rights for the Ottawa Senators. There was a big press conference today, and they've gone to Bell Media. The English language regional television rights will be on TSN with a minimum. And I noticed interesting word here is minimum. Of 52 regular season and preseason games. So there may be more than 52. That's pretty awesome.
Depends on the weekend schedule.
Exactly, how the national broadcasts and so on work out.
That's what I figured out.
French language regional television rights are going to be with RDS with a minimum of 40 games. English language radio rights will be with TSN Radio 1200. And French language radio rights, that's still to be worked out, but it's going to be with another Bell Media station of some sort. Couple of interesting things to come out of this. Guillaume Latendresse will be working with RDS.
Bonk's mullet was so happy.
He's 25, 26.
If your head's out.
That's true. He did have some concussion issues when he was over. That's true. Well, good for him. I mean, if he's found a way to get into this and be a young guy and get into broadcasting, I'm all for it. But I'm worried that means that Patrick Lalime won't be there anymore. And I've really liked Patrick Lalime on RDS.
He'll really probably stay with Montreal.
Well, he's been doing the Ottawa stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure how it's going to work out.
Maybe the two of them.
Maybe the two of them.
Maybe. I hope. I've really enjoyed listening to Patrick Lalime, though. So we'll see. No, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lalime. Sorry. I was saying Patrick Lalime. I was thinking Pascal Leclerc. I'm like, no.
No.
I'm getting confused.
He does not have the face for TV.
Now, the broadcast region for TSN and RDS.
That was interesting to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Eastern Ontario and Northern Ontario.
Yep. Yes, and?
On Quebec.
Yes, and?
All of the Atlantic provinces.
Yes, and?
Newfoundland.
Yep.
So, Ivan, you're getting the Senators on TSN.
Then you can email us again.
I thought that was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
You know, that's some feedback that I wouldn't mind, eh? All you Maritimers and East Coasters and Le Québécois that listen, let us know what you guys think.
I'm really surprised.
Well, it is a big deal because they don't get the coverage down there like we do.
Well, they just get Montreal before.
They get a lot of Montreal, a lot of Toronto.
They got Toronto.
Well, yeah, they'll get it. Toronto and Newfoundland. A lot of Montreal. But this is big for exposure for the Sens. Mm-hmm. It will take a few years before you start to see kind of the fandom coming, but...
The teams have to do well.
Yes.
And I think that's another reason why the Sens don't get, I guess, a national interest is...
When the team was well.
They shit the bed on Saturdays.
Yes.
Yeah. But they also went to a Stanley Cup final, 6 years ago?
And they lost.
Well, they lost, but they did actually make it there. When was the last time a Canadian team ended?
You didn't even beat the Leafs.
Yeah, well, it's because the Leafs couldn't make because they hadn't made the playoffs in how many years?
Really?
So Bell Media now holds Toronto Maple Leafs broadcast rights on TSN and radio, and Winnipeg.
Yes, and?
And Montreal English.
Yes, and?
English. And Vancouver radio.
Yep.
So they're looking for, I don't know, this is my personal two cents. I think TSN is going to be spending a lot of money to get as many local broadcasts, regional broadcasts. Because when you stop and think about it, they're getting 52 games.
Mm-hmm.
How many is Rogers getting for the national broadcast rights?
82 minus 52, 30.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Maybe, if that.
Because it's at least 52.
Exactly.
Oh, a couple of other things, and you probably have this, but I'll jump on this first. 52 regional games. There are 28 weeks or 28 Saturdays in the season.
Well, 28 weekends, but they won't get Saturday night games. They can't. That's what the national broadcast schedule is.
We'll wait to see what the team guys say about that.
But the national broadcast schedule is Saturday night. That's one of the exclusives.
Saturday or Sunday.
Night.
Night.
Yeah. Well, if there's a Saturday night game and it goes on on Rogers, then maybe there can be a Sunday. I don't care. I'd be okay with that.
I'm not sure where you're going with that yet.
Well, we'll see where they all end up. It'll be interesting. It will be interesting to see how that schedule works out.
And the other thing is TSN's putting all the preseason on.
Which would be nice.
So I don't have to watch a shady video from the Winnipeg website and then listen to the radio. Because, oh, man, in preseason, I'm just hungry for games.
Well, yeah. There was one game that was the preseason game in Owen Sound, I think it was, that I missed because I was up fishing. But that was the one that had no TV at all because it was in
That was the Islanders game,
yeah.
And they're playing them at the same time.
Exactly right. There was one here and one in Owen Sound.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Which I can still blame for lack of team cohesion.
Now, TSN, does that mean that TSN is going to now stand for the Senators Network?
I hope so.
Because RDS means Réseau des Sénateurs.
Mm, like that one.
Yeah.
His wife liked that one.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh. I made that one up.
That was, well, yes, because it was French.
TSN, I saw the Senators.
Même si je parle français aussi, malheur docteur.
Yes, I don't understand that one. Well, I don't understand why he was making a comment about the fact that I'm able to roll my R's in English and French. Whatever. I can roll them in English and I can roll them in French. It's two different sounds.
The best
sounds.
Part is that CHR sound. Like Christian.
Christian?
Christian.
Ah, well. Anyway, enough of this stuff. Let's move on, shall we?
I'm bored.
Okay. Well, before we move on to talk about other Senators stuff, we have a really cool interview to put in tonight. Canuck, can you get our guests on the line?
Yeah, let's call them up.
We're happy to have on the phone with us Paul Byrne, Vice President of Ticketing with the Ottawa Senators, and Daniel Julian, the Business Channel Manager. Gentlemen, welcome to the Sens Call-Ups.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Now, Paul, this is your first year with the organization. Could you tell us a little bit about what your role is and your professional and personal background?
You want my personal background. How long is the show? I've been on the job since December, and I was hired away from my previous role was Vice President of Business Operations for Toronto FC. And so I was with Toronto FC. I was their first employee. I kind of wrote the business plan and built the office and built what we were very proud of in those first 7 years at Toronto FC. Before that, I was with the Leafs and the Raptors organization. And I was with the Raptors when they were in expansion team as well. So I've gone through two expansions, and I've been around the block in the ticket world.
So, Paul,
I was brought in to help, sort of normalize the ticket world at the Senators. It's been a tumultuous number of years with lockouts and, wildly successful years and then, more difficult years from a team performance perspective. And so Dan and all the people I work with every day, we're all trying to sort of sort things out and also bring some new life into the Canadian Tire Center.
Great, thanks. So we've noticed you've been reaching out through various fan groups and to different bloggers on Twitter. Can you kind of give us an idea of what you're looking for and what kind of information you're trying to get from Sens fans?
First off, I'm just trying to make myself and the organization as accessible as possible. I really believe in creating opportunities for a dialogue to find out what people want. And, you know, not everybody is, not every Sens fan is in the building every night. And anyone can see, anyone who's looking around on the internet can see that there's a very active dialogue going on about the team and all things surrounding the team. And I want to make myself available to be part of that conversation so that people can feel like they're connected to the club.
Taking that one step further, how can people reach out to you to give you feedback or get in contact with you and start to interact with you on this initiative?
Well, you know what? Forgive me, but I wouldn't call it an initiative because it's, you know, that sounds like it's a short-term thing. This is just how I like to operate. And again, in my time at the Raptors and then with Toronto FC, we had some real successful moments when the fans felt like they had a voice at the front office, and more importantly, that voice that was at the front office was actually acting on some of the things. You know, and if not, then was certainly providing guidance or direction on, you know, we can't do this, but maybe we can do that kind of thing. So the answer to your question is, you know, I'm new, and I've been reaching out to people through various hockey message boards, Sens message boards, as well as I'm out there in the open on Twitter. So I'm easy to find.
Now, an increase in the fan interaction seems to be a big change with the Sens over the last few years, and I think this is pretty much as you've mentioned, along with a new vision system at Canadian Tire Place coming in next year. Can you tell us of any other plans on connecting with the fans for the in-game experience?
You know what? The in-game experience is changing constantly. There's a new guy in charge of the presentation of the game. A guy named Paul Gallant, and I see him trying new things every single game. It's, you know, the game, the presentation of the game, everything around the game is about entertainment, and it's about providing information to fans, and it's about being authentic to hockey, but also providing something to, you know, as a distraction during TV timeouts. It's a real it's a real nuanced thing, and it's I think Paul Gallant is one of the best, and if you've been watching, if you've been at games and you've been watching the in-game entertainment, it's definitely evolving, and it's becoming, you know, it's very, he operates it like a play unfolding every night. Every night is different. He's got a bunch of bags up, or a bunch of tricks up his sleeve, like I said, I think he's one of the best, and so the in-game presentation of the game is changing constantly, and it's getting better and better every day.
So maybe a good question for Dan, the new season ticket renewal period just started. There's a lot of radio advertisements and emails gone out. Actually, two of us are season ticket holders. Maybe you could explain to those that listen to the show, what are the benefits to being a season ticket holder?
Well, first of all, thank you for being season ticket holders. We do appreciate it. There are so many benefits, and obviously the best one would be to have access to a charming, entertaining account manager such as myself to help you make the best use of your season seat package. Interactions with people such as myself are really a treat, so that would be one. We're proud of having one of the most comprehensive benefits program the league, and flexible, honestly. It's called VIP points. I'm sure you guys have made use of it, but it gives you a chance to do unique experiences. This year, I got the experience with the client sitting in the penalty box during warm-up. That's not something, you know, I can go to any stadium and pay a certain cost to do. We do the same thing with sitting in the press box during the game and other benefits that are really exclusive to our season seat owners. Obviously, you get the pre-order and discounts on the playoff tickets, and for our 100 and 200 level seat clients, the same type of pre-buys for concerts. So the Katy Perry that was just out, if you've got a kid bothering you to go to see Katy Perry, you get that first access, which is important. And honestly, most importantly, aside from the account managers, let's face it, it's the best price for every game for our season seat owners.
Now, committing to 20 to 40 games a year may be a difficult commitment for some fans. What other options are out there for those who prefer to go to games only maybe once in a while or on a semi-regular basis, but not even a full season or a half season?
Yeah, and the first thing to remember is, honestly, you don't have to commit to it alone. It's not marriage. It's not a one-on-one situation. my buddies, I grew up in Orleans, and my buddies share a flex pack, the four of them. Sometimes they go two, sometimes they go four. But they do share it. So that would be the first one to always remember, that you can share it with friends, other business owners, with clients. Half-season and full-season donors can also customize their ticket package, their ticket trade. So if your wife's birthday is coming up, she doesn't want you to go to the game, exchange it for a game later on in the season. You've got four kids running around the house and you want six tickets to that Saturday afternoon game, we'll trade some games for it. And I just mentioned that the flex packs, you can purchase a 20 or 40 ticket package. All the games are available for that package. You can choose from any game, and you can really customize your needs. So if you got a flex 20, you can do two tickets for 10 games, four tickets for five games, or any combination of. So the same thing, if you've got a kid in hockey who plays every Tuesday, you can avoid those Tuesday games. Or if your listeners are listening from out of town on the podcast, well, you can just choose the weekend games or the nights that work best for you to travel from Kingston, Belleville, or wherever your reach goes out to on the podcast.
Great. Especially with the new TV contracts now being done both national and local today, which is pretty neat, but also with the lack of success in the empty seats in the afternoon games, what does this change in regards to the scheduling strategy for next year?
I'll take that one. The schedule this current year that we're in has been arduous, to say the least. I can't remember exactly how many, but we had a ton of games in November. Oh, with 21, I think, games in November and December. 21 home games. And so when you're talking about season tickets and you're talking about people who are consuming the product in Ottawa, it's about the home games. And so the whole league has had to go through a really challenging schedule, but it seems like the Senators didn't get the best shake at the end of the day. And then here we are heading into February and we've only got a couple of home games. And that's because of the Olympic break. I mean, all of the schedule challenges this year have been about the Olympic break. Moving into future years, our desire is to have as many games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays as possible. And another comment I hear a lot about is the Saturday games. We have too many Saturday afternoon games, and frankly, we agree. We have this year we had seven Saturday afternoon games, and we think the right number is somewhere around three or four. You know, it's important for us to have Saturday afternoons to allow a certain demographic to come to the games. And we've seen some great atmospheres on Saturday afternoon games, like the game over the Christmas New Year holiday, when it's filled with kids who are in the big tournament. Really, we want way more Saturday night games than we want weekend games, and that's what we'll be shooting for as we head into next year. And TSN's prepared to carry us. You know, they've just announced a big partnership with us, and they're prepared to carry us on every single game.
Okay. A couple important questions for you, Dan. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in purchasing tickets? And I'll ask as well, as you mentioned you're on Twitter, maybe let us know your Twitter handle so people can reach out to you guys.
Yeah, first of all, Twitter handle is at DJUDEEJAYYOU. I'm not completely entertaining, but I do try to entertain people a little. If they do want to reach out to me about any ticket information, any information about the Senators, the email is Julian D, so J-U-L-I-E-N-D at OttawaSenators.com. And you can reach me by telephone, obviously. I'm not sure if I should leave that on here just in case, but shoot me an email or a tweet. And do mention, if you listen to the podcast, Mopan's had a bit of car trouble lately, so maybe we can help him out with that, or just send the boys some beer when they're taping. do reach out to me in any way you can if you've got any questions at all.
Email Dan!
Sorry, guys, that's a shtick.
Yeah, thanks for that. I just woke up again. And this is Paul. I can be reached, the easiest way is via Twitter. My Twitter handle is my first name and my last name. So at Paul Byrne, I'll spell it PaulBeirne, at Paul Byrne. Hit me up there and then we can connect.
Excellent. Gents, thanks for your time. Do want to make sure that you know that we're here to help you get your message out, as well as to help get feedback to you. So if there's some other thing that comes up in the future where you're having a different communication method, make sure you let us know and we'll pass it on to our listeners as well.
Awesome. Thanks very much for having us, guys.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
When you're here, every hip check is that much sweeter.
When you're here, I feed off your energy.
When you're here, goals are bigger, better.
When you're here, I lead the rush.
When you're here, we all celebrate together.
Be here every night for the 2014-15 season. Visit OttawaSenators.com for more details.
Thank you again to Paul and Dan for their time this evening, and hope to be working with them again in the future. Now, a couple of quick hits on the Senators before we move into the rest of the league. Cody Ceci apparently was told during, he was in Nashville, that he was told, you need to find a place to stay in Ottawa. So
his mom's house.
Get out of Brook Street. We're not paying for it anymore. Go find somewhere to live.
That makes sense, because I was always wondering, because with the Olympics coming up, they could have saved money to send him down.
Yeah, I thought they probably would.
Maybe the difference between the price of Brook Street is about the same.
Could be. So apparently he's here to stay for the rest of the season.
Is that where you're staying?
Yeah.
I had to put him up in a hotel.
Yeah.
Again, crazy horse.
Well, that's where most of the teams stay when they're in town, because CBA says 5-star and it's the one that's closest to the rink. So
you think he wants to drive to the rink on game day? From Orleans?
Well, is that where he grew up?
That's where his family lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For those people out of town, that's from one end of the city to the other to get to the arena, which is why he's staying in the West End at Brook Street, which is 10 minutes from the arena.
Yeah. I actually scared TJ about that when we went down.
Oh?
Yeah. He's like, is it seriously that long? Like, I'm not going to come down to Ottawa for a game if it's that long.
It's, it's not Glendale. It's only Glendale for people who live in the East End.
No, I exaggerated it a lot.
Maybe just a little.
Just a little, yeah. But
all right.
No, but good for Cody Ceci.
Yeah, for sure.
Bad for Brian Murray to actually sing that out in public, because whatever trade value he had for defensemen just went down.
Well, actually, let's talk trades right now. You had a couple of trade rumors you wanted to talk about, so let's throw them in because you just mentioned the word trade.
I think one of the fun names, and I didn't really pay much attention to this, was on Twitter saying that one rumor for the Sens is to pick up P.A. Parenteau.
Thanks. Haven't heard that sound clip in a while. Well played,
that's
sir.
What's coming up?
Well played. We're going to hear that a lot in the next few weeks, I think.
So, yeah, if the Sens are interested in Parenteau, someone in management is listening to the podcast.
Why did you say that?
Episode 15.
Yeah, I wasn't listening. I was too busy telling you to put down your phone, apparently.
That was actually right during that part. I was just like, I'm sure I said that, and I found it right away.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because that was be a GM, which you didn't want to play with. It was one of the emails.
It was an email question.
Oh, okay.
So what player did you want? I was like, Parenteau looks good.
Okay. Where is he right now?
Colorado.
And he's got 2 years left after
something
this one?
Something like that, yeah.
$4 million a season, something like that.
TSN, thanks.
Depends on what the asking price is.
A lot of
is.
Rumors with Matt Molson as well.
I don't want a pending UFA. Oh, boy, did I get shelled on that one, eh?
Well, Yeah, but you see, shelled
you're
on the...
You're not even a playoff team yet. Why are you going to trade prospects?
You're getting shelled on the by the Twitterverse who have the attention span of a goldfish. They want everything right now. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what the problem is. We want to fix this right now. This is what will fix it.
Yeah.
And then the next game, it's completely different what will fix it, which is why I'm really glad that Brian Murray doesn't listen to the Twitterverse.
No.
To be honest,
maybe probably he's on
podcast,
there.
So.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. Is he Adnan?
He could be.
Oh. Anyway, did you have other trade rumors you want to talk about?
That's it.
Okay. You also asked me to put into our game notes something about man games lost to injury.
Yep.
Over to you.
I don't remember asking you to do this.
Oh, this has come up before, too.
It has.
We had an email on it
last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't listen.
I had to read it off. It was like a spreadsheet.
Actually, this one was a spreadsheet. But last year, our excuse was we've lost everyone to injury.
Yeah.
Now we are the lowest team for games lost.
We're the fewest injuries in the league.
Yeah, we're right at the bottom of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Well, we've also lost some key pieces. And there's been...
Oh, he said it!
Some key pieces, yes. Mm-hmm. Sergei Gonchar, I would think, would be the one. Moving on. Mark Stone did take some skating today and took a few shots, but he's not close to returning. The coach said at a press conference earlier this week he was wearing a non-contact sweater at practice today. So that's good news.
At least he's allowed to shoot like that guy in Columbus whose name... New York Rangers went to Columbus.
Dubinsky?
Nope.
I don't know who else. I can't remember.
Chronically injured.
Gabarek?
Yep.
Okay.
He's not cleared to shoot.
And they think they're going to trade him? Okay. Yeah, I don't think so.
Shoot! I can't.
I don't think so.
My Corsi!
Now, Zach Smith and Chris Phillips were not at practice today. Apparently, Zach Smith will be available for the game Tomorrow.
Zach Smith.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
but back. Phillips is doubtful. So whatever is ailing him seems to be ailing him for a little while longer.
But who's going to point to people as to where to go?
Well, never know. Hmm. Somebody will take that over.
I think Cowan has.
Actually. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
It's scary. And, I know you're trying to help the guys out, but it's also a very big tell.
Yes.
No, but that's normal. I've seen that before.
It happens quite a bit.
Not to that level.
Really?
There's a lot of it going on.
I think maybe it's been pointed out a lot, and you may be focusing on it because I see it happen all the time.
It's not a tell. It's like cover that guy.
You cover that guy because you know whatever's
going on. A lot of times they'll yell at each other. So awesome.
It's only funny when CeCe was closer to the guy and he just pointed him to go over to the fire guy.
Yeah, I mean everybody makes mistakes, so that happens. Quick,
tell you go over there and make a mistake. I don't want to get traded away.
Quick look at a couple of Binghamton bits and some prospect info before we move on to the rest of the league. Binghamton is now 28-13-0-3 after their win 6-3 over Worcester tonight. They're first in the East Division. They'll have at least a 3-point, possibly a 5-point lead on the Penguins.
At least they make good sauce.
That's right. And
from the Shire.
The biggest news, Binghamton news is they've recalled your favorite Elmira Jackal.
Blood?
Nope.
No,
it's
Rogowski.
Nope.
Done.
Nope.
From Jack.
They've recalled your favorite.
Danny Hobbs?
Bingo. He's been recalled.
Wow.
He was a healthy scratch for tonight.
We got our intro.
But he has been recalled from Elmira.
Gabrielle can cash in on that autograph now.
There you go.
Sell high.
Binghamton, a couple of interesting things.
I didn't know who he was either.
Ah. It's all right.
Poor guy.
I knew who he was. I recognized his name, his draft pick. Binghamton has 14 shorthanded goals so far this season.
Call him up.
14. Well, call up the whole team. Okay.
And the Ottawa Senators have given up 14. Well,
that's double the next closest teams in the league.
Yeah.
The next closest teams have 7. And the Binghamton Senators have 14.
Do you know who has them?
Hoffman has, I think, 3.
Holy crap.
I caught a little bit of on the game. I was listening to the game. Grady Wittenberg was on TSN radio on the way over here tonight.
That's like one every 10 games.
Yeah. It's great. Well, 14. They've played what, 40 some odd games. Yeah. A shorthanded goal every three games.
And he's been up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a couple other quick little bits just from prospects. Curtis Lazar has 51 points in 36 games played in the Western Hockey League. Maybe next year. You never know.
No, now. I'm the Twitterverse. I want him now.
He can't play in the AHL next year. That really sucks.
Yeah, exactly. If he can't, doesn't make the big team, he goes back to junior.
CeCe, we didn't want him up here this year.
He wasn't ready to play up here at the beginning of the season.
But CeCe,
he developed really well under Luke Richardson and Steve Sterling.
If you start in the CHL, you can't come up at all, right?
Yeah, you can. You can be called up.
But you can't get back down.
Yes, you can go back down, but you can't go.
It burns a year.
But you can't go to the AHL, exactly.
Right, but it burns a year.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So you never know what might happen next year.
he's ineligible for AHL.
He's ineligible.
No, I know, yeah. But if you play him up here for the more than the nine games, he's getting the nine games.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Unless we pick up some really amazing UFAs in the offseason.
I agree.
Maybe a familiar face.
He's getting
face.
Nine games. Yeah.
TSN money anyways, right?
True enough. A couple of other, I was just looking at a couple of the prospects we haven't looked at lately. François Brassard, playing for the Quebec Remparts.
Francois Brassard?
Yeah. Yep. Frankie Brassard.
Nailed it!
Is 22-8-2-4 with a 2.95 goals against and a 9-10 save percentage.
Call him up.
Good for sixth overall in the QMJHL. What's interesting is Chris Dreiger is 19-11-3-3 with a 9.20 save percentage and a 2.49 goals against, and he's sixth overall in the Western Hockey League.
And we've got Hogberg.
Well, depth. I went looking for Hogberg, for Marcus Hogberg's stats, but they're Swedish really hard to find.
Very difficult.
Really difficult to find. He's been moving between a couple of different teams, so...
Oh, between leagues, right?
He was in Swedish Elite, and he was sent down to the next one down.
Elite 2.
But those are the really hard, hard stats to find, so I couldn't find them. So, Labru.
When you do find them, they're in Swedish.
Yeah, Labru, if you have any...
He's Dutch.
I know he's Dutch, but maybe he knows more about the Swedish Elite League than I do.
Should be getting Stefan Giesen, but...
Anybody. I'd really appreciate some updates on Marcus Hogberg, because I've read some articles translated into English that said that he was playing reasonably well, but I can't find any empirical evidence of this.
Maybe a backhand shot then? Scotland's close enough?
Sure. Tasha, help us out.
Yeah.
You never know. That'd be cool. Moving to the rest of the league, just a couple of quick things to talk about in the rest of the league before we get to the one email that we have to get to. Thank you. Sorry. Before we do that, thank
Rewind.
You for reminding. I have another note for later on, but I wanted to do this now. Thank you for reminding me. The Red Scarf Union is having a get-together in Toronto this Saturday. So for our listeners in the GTA, I hope you made it out to see Todd Van Allen last weekend. We haven't heard how well it went yet, but hopefully it went well. We have another task for you this weekend. The Red Scarf Union, the RSU, is having a get-together this Saturday at 6 o'clock at Grace O'Malley's at 14 Duncan Street. And there are quite a number of confirmed Sens fans who are already going to be there. There's lots of information on their Facebook page.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, they control that quite well, actually. You have to be invited, or you have to get accepted into their group.
Oh, really? Okay, I know nothing about Facebook.
It's cockroach-free zone.
Ah, okay. So, if we have listeners in the GTA who are looking to watch because this Saturday is Toronto versus the Yard Waste. Ottawa versus Yard Waste. Yeah. Oh, geez. If you want to watch that game in the company of other Sens fans, here's your opportunity at Grace O'Malley's this coming Saturday. Well, I'll talk about it again just at the end of the episode as a reminder.
Yeah, you can follow them at Red Scarf Union. At Red Scarf Union.
On Twitter. You can also find them on Facebook.
Okay. I don't know what
I don't know what it is.
Red Scarf Union.
Yeah, look it up. Exactly. Yeah. Now, around the league, a couple of quick hits. This won't take very long. San Jose signed both Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau to 3-year deals.
Yep.
These guys are both younger than I thought they were. I thought they were about 35, 36. They're 32, 33.
No. Thornton's got to be old. No, he's not.
They're younger than I thought they were.
I need to do something with my life.
Yeah. Freaky.
Freaky, freaky, freaky.
I think they're both, the one Thornton was 3 years at $6.75 million, and Marlowe was 3 years at $6.66
million. Okay. So Thornton, and he's doing quite well this year too, right?
Leads the league in assists, I believe.
Okay, so then that, just say yes when I
ask. I believe so.
Yes, no.
No four-goal games yet.
Do you?
And the rest of the league is relieved.
So that would really be a measuring stick for Spezza.
Thornton? Well, a measuring stick, I don't think it would necessarily be a comparable, yeah.
Oh, he's not going to jump that bar.
Ooh.
But do you take Spezza at six with the new money?
For 3 years? If Spezza would sign for 3 years at $6 million, yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would.
The question is, you really have to ask Spezza, is he ready for more?
It's pretty much, are you ready for the exact same?
I'm really starting to think that, Canuck, you just sit here waiting, going, okay, I'm going to use this sound clip. How can I use this sound clip? How can I use it?
Don't make fun of him. He does all our production.
I know.
Product without him.
He'll
make you sound like a little girl.
Yeah, you have, actually. Thank you for that. Anyway, I thought those two signings were quite reasonable. And yes, I would take Spezza at 3 years at $6 million. I'm sure we're going to get email on that. I'm not interested in tweets on it because those are much more difficult to work into a show. So, folks, if you disagree, send an email. podcast@sentencecallups.com. Moving on. Vancouver, quick hit. Vinny Prospel decided to retire on late last week. He was going to sign a pro out with their AHL team, and he said, no, I think I'm done.
I'd rather retire than play for the Canucks.
I'd rather retire than sign a pro tryout in the AHL. Yeah. And speaking of people, players trying to...
he probably got like the regiment email and just went...
Yeah, bye.
F this.
Goodbye.
I'm going to go eat what Kyle Turris has and just not play.
I'll work with that.
Cheesecake.
Brian Rafalski was attempting a comeback. He's been out of the league for 2 years, I think. Not three.
It's Devils, I don't know.
He was making a comeback with the Florida Everblades of the East Coast Hockey League. He signed with them, I think, in late December. But he's been out of the lineup due to a sore back since January 18th.
And he got cut.
He was released yesterday because they needed the roster spot. So he got cut, yeah. So guess not.
You really get guaranteed contracts in the ECHL.
You wanted to talk about the stadium series.
I did.
You did.
First of all, I love that tweet you sent out, the picture of the parade coming in. You're like, game on. What? Was this picture of this marching band coming out on the stadium field?
Oh. Yeah. I think it was a local,
the Dodgers, local college. It's Dodger Stadium.
Oh, okay. The LA game. Right. Yeah.
And it was like the Trojans or something like that. And they had the Centurion.
Right on. Can we borrow them? We should borrow them.
I took the picture. Oh, okay. All you got to see to this is money, 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 money.
Lots of money in these games.
Money.
Well, they're getting $55,000 per game in Yankee Stadium, and LA had that number. So that's
they had to drop their prices up.
That's still 2.5 sellouts of a hockey arena. So, all right.
No, they've done well with it. Apparently, the ice in the LA game, because they're playing the Rangers are playing right now, or they're probably done now. But
it looked good.
The best ice was in LA. Versus Detroit, the Rangers on Sunday, and tonight.
Best climate for it. It's low humidity.
You watch the quality.
It's controlled.
Yeah.
But it's also low humidity, which helps make good ice. Yeah.
There's no snow, because the Detroit game was balls.
Yeah, you watch the quality of the skating.
And it was snowing like crazy.
Yeah.
But even trying to make the ice, it was so cold, the ice was cracking.
Let's let Canuck talk for once. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. Yeah. It's like the quality of the skating, that Detroit-Toronto game was... You could tell they're slow, but you watch these games, it actually looks somewhat normal.
So. Well, they were so cold they couldn't skate. Yeah. I know when I'm outside and it's cold, I just move slowly because, well, I'm cold. You can't be as fluid and as active. So, interesting little... Oh, you wanted to talk about the refs using mics and cameras.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about.
That's what you wanted to talk about. There you go.
So, yeah, they had that, I guess, for some of the games. And it was kind of neat to see when we saw some videos. I know Bob McKenzie tweeted one a couple weeks ago that we mentioned and I sent to you guys.
Right.
I don't know if you necessarily want to broadcast that video in the mics, but at least for the league to use that for their own review. So either player review, what's been said on the ice.
Yeah.
And referee evaluation.
Where was he looking? If it's a GoPro or something sitting on his helmet, exactly you can see which way he's looking.
And that's what they used.
Yeah.
So
I'd be sharp.
Yeah. If you want to use it for the broadcasts, that'd be even better. I doubt that you would because the league likes to stick with the refs regardless of what they do. But that would be a good way to evaluate.
You'd also have to get the ref to wear a transmitter.
Yeah.
It worked fine. I don't know what that is, but it worked fine.
Were they actually showing that in game? I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they had the mics piped in with like the stadium mics for the ice and whatnot.
At least they get better mics than what they're using right now, because it seems like half the time when they call a penalty, it's like 2 minutes. And that's about all you hear.
Yeah, that's about right.
Of course, you're going to hear a little bit of that because of our mics in the room, but you get the idea. It cuts in and out.
Well, you sometimes hear it if the ref mic cuts in and out. Sometimes the mics on the boards pick up his voice a little bit. So you hear it in the background, kind of like ours are picking
up. I love it when they don't turn it off in time and the player skates by.
Oh, got to give you a minor. My mic was still on.
Oh, son of a...
Sorry, dude. Edmonton. Interesting little move by Dallas Eakins this morning.
I didn't like it.
I missed it.
He tweeted out roster information rather than meeting the media.
Nah.
He decided he didn't want to have a press conference, so he just put it out on Twitter. Scriven's back in. Hemsky and Ferentz not ready versus Sharks. The end. That's it.
Don't do that.
You
have a PR department. Well, number one, you have a PR department. Did that replace his presser?
Yeah. No press conference.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't want to deal with the press, so put it out on Twitter. That's it. Goodbye. I'm going home.
Trained by Brian Burke.
Well, it's a way to get attention, I suppose. Puts the attention away from what the team's doing. Phoenix announced yesterday, or was it early today?
We knew about this before.
They're changing from Phoenix Coyotes to Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, it's because they're using state money, and they're not in Phoenix.
Wow.
There's a lot of state money in there.
As opposed, I don't know. It's still...
That was part of their agreement with the councils.
Is that it? I think it's a stupid move because...
Well, there's other people doing that because you have the Colorado Avalanche, Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes, but they were established that way.
And they're North Carolina.
But they were established that way.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The Los
Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah, that's where I was going. They used to be the California Angels.
But then they wanted to get local, and then they wanted to expand.
Yeah, I know. But you see, they were always the California Angels. Why would you change it?
I don't know Phoenix.
You're not going to change the Montreal Canadiens to the Quebec Canadiens or the Ontario Maple Leafs.
It's a Canada Maple Leaf.
The Manitoba Jets?
They could have. Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Yeah.
Hamilton, Winnipeg, but that's the only, and BC.
I'm not.
It's to unite the state to get more interest.
Yeah, I don't see that making. I don't see hockey fans in Arizona giving a small rodents behind about that sort of thing. But depending on the name, I'm going to suddenly start supporting this team because now it's Arizona rather than Phoenix. If you're a hockey fan, you're a hockey fan. The name of the change.
I don't know anything about Arizona, but it's
hot.
And there are a lot of retired people there.
No, I know, but does Phoenix have a stigma versus like a Toronto Ottawa thing?
No, they have apathy.
Okay.
Well, apathy to hockey.
I think it's just a way to kind of grow it in a very, very easy way to do it.
I don't see it working.
And then selling more jerseys.
But that's just me. Yeah, they can change the logo or something.
Oh, Anaheim. Did you see those Anaheim jerseys?
No.
Ooh.
Speaking of,
it's like Hal Gill was wearing them. Bright orange pylons.
Ah, charming. So they think they're the Denver Broncos? Oh, there's a good reference to a hockey sweater. Or bright orange sweater, I mean. I don't know if you've noticed this. I've been watching a couple of Calgary Flames games recently.
I don't.
Okay, the next time one is, or the highlights are on TV, watch them. and check out what they use as the A for an alternate captain.
It's the Atlanta Flames.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have they been doing this a long time?
Yeah.
I'm late to the show. Okay, sorry. I thought this was something new. I thought it was cool.
It's been a long, long time.
All right, so I'm late on that.
I think Gindler had an A like that.
When was he an A? Long time. Okay. All right, I'd never noticed it, to be completely honest. I hadn't noticed that they were doing that.
Wow.
Oh, dear Lord, that's
I just showed them the...
This is the orange the Ducks jersey.
Stadium jersey.
That's hideous. That's absolutely hideous. Wow. Imagine a Denver Broncos sweater with an Anaheim Gold logo on it.
Which one's worse, this one or the Mighty Ducks third jersey that Jason York has?
Ooh.
I think this one. Orange County? So I like that.
I don't... Yeah, it fits.
It's ugly.
It's
ugly.
It's brutal.
It could use better colors on the...
I was going to say, you can't have a gold logo on an orange jersey, on an orange sweater. Like, Denver does it because they use blue and white, which are a good contrast.
Yeah, if they would have just used like a black.
Yeah, simple colored logo would be all right. All right, we have one email to read today. Because nobody's emailing
us. Oh, we're done?
We're getting there. Canuck, you have this one.
I do, and
we're going to have some talking after this, I think.
It's an email from, guess who? Molar Doctor. Uh-oh.
Why is he the only contributing?
Uh-oh.
Hey.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We don't really want him to contribute.
Easy now.
Jeez, picking on the emailers. Come on, he took time out of his day to email us. So thank you, Molar Doctor. He writes, hey, boys. Just wanted to start by saying that you do a pretty good job with your podcast. Twitter, on the other hand, fabulous. To me, and I seem to be the only one, Bobby hasn't been Bobby for the last few weeks. I'm not talking about goal production, assists, or fancy stats. I'm talking about his game. He looks emotionless out there. Not saying he doesn't care, it's just a perception. He always a step behind his two line mates, has trouble catching passes, always seems to make the wrong decision. He's just not in the zone. Can't wait to have him back. There's nothing like good old Bobby lighting the lamp. The excitement he brings to the team when he's on is really important to this team. His line is the Sens motor right now, and it's running on two cylinders, two good ones, mind you, instead of three. Is he saying he's lacking intensity?
I was going to jump into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll answer this afterwards. Yeah. We'll let Canuck finish it.
So this brings me to the next stat. After last night's game, I noticed the victory came without a goal from the tourist line. So my question was, prior to last night, when was the last time the Sens won a game without a goal from its top line? With the help of my personal researcher, I found that it was only happened twice before. October 15th at Phoenix, Spezza hat-trick game, and the other one was the season opener in Buffalo, but Ryan was playing with Spets at that time. This is a pretty telling stat. If our top line doesn't carry the team, we're not going anywhere. In other words, we have absolutely no secondary scoring. Then comes the new TSN TV deal. Takes care of all our secondary scoring troubles, and all Sens fan live happily ever after. Keep up the good work. Go Sens, go. Molar Doctor.
Pan, you go first.
You can call me personal researcher, apparently.
Oh, you're the personal researcher?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
That took a while, too, to figure
stat
out.
Stat bitch. Okay.
Beer bitch, soundbite bitch.
All right.
He's not a good skater.
He's not a fast skater.
And his balance isn't great.
So he's never going to be as fast as the other two. It's just
but
not
his hands make up for it.
He's that medium guy in Blades of Steel.
Huh.
He's also the fast guy. He's not the slow guy. He's the medium guy. He's the guy with hockey sense.
He's also got unbelievable...
You know what I'm talking about.
I love it.
He's also got unbelievable situational awareness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brilliant hands. And I don't have a problem with his game at all. He hasn't scored? Okay. He's setting people up to score.
And Bobby needs to listen to the song. That'll cheer him up.
Absolutely. Well, cheer me up every time I listen to it. Well, made me laugh. Was that cheering me up? I don't know.
That counts.
I don't have a problem with Bobby Ryan's play just because he's not scoring.
I was going to go on Fowler Molar Doctor now.
Okay.
But you know... Even Bobby Ryan self-proclaimed that he's a bit of a streaky player.
Yep.
So
he has been this year.
Yeah. And hey, if this is going to be your downtime, great. That means you're coming due for a good hot streak. So,
and
bring it on.
Yeah, and he's not playing badly. He's just not scoring. He's getting assists. He's playing reasonably soundly, other than the pinch he had during the power play, which led to the first goal against Phoenix, I think it was. I have to go back and look at my notes.
Maybe it was the Montreal game.
I don't remember. I have to go back. It was one of the ones we were looking at this week in this episode, but I remember which one. I don't have a problem. I don't think that this team is 100% dependent on that line to score, and if they don't score, we don't win, because that line didn't score against Phoenix, and the team won. DaCosta, Spezza. So it's really nice when...
Didn't happen, oh, captain.
It's really nice, but I mean, if MacArthur and Turris and Bobby Ryan don't score, it's not the end of the world, because at least they're taking away the number one defensive pairing and number one defensive line for the other lines. So I just, yeah, I don't see the world through the same lens at all.
That's Mahler, doctor.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we'll end on that.
Are we done with that? Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
We get ahead of
you. Okay, we got, well, actually, we have a couple of things.
Okay.
We've had another $40 donation from a donor who wishes to remain anonymous. So thank you, Anonymous. That was very nice. You. It's always nice to get donations, because I think Canuck bought some beer with that on the way in today. That was nice.
He didn't share it, though.
That's okay. I don't want it. He's got germs. I don't want his beer.
That's true.
The week to come.
There's unopened bottles there. You don't have to drink from mine.
The week to come. Game 54 is tomorrow, Thursday, January 30th.
I'm there!
The Lightning are in town versus the Senators at 7:30. It'll be on Sportsnet East and TVA. Game 55 is Saturday. The Senators will be in the Big Smoke to play the Yard Waste.
Which name do I use here?
Yeah, it's good.
Don't poop on the ice, please.
It's a
Crashbot Nation.
National game. Yeah, national game, 7 p.m. It's on CBC. It's on NHL Network US. It's on LDS. And do we have a listener?
Justin Bieber might be at the game.
If he gets out of jail, he's been charged in Toronto.
CB Inc's doing that.
Okay,
one.
So we have CB Inc's going to do the review for that game. Thank you very much. And then next Monday is game 56. The Senators are in Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. That's on TSN.
Boned.
Yeah. So again, if we have people who would like to do game review for us, we have either the Lightning game or the Penguins game open. Feel free to volunteer. Contact us at podcast@sensecallups.com or on Twitter and say, yes, I'll do this game review for it. We'd appreciate it. Because it means we don't have to.
St. Louis, too, right?
That's coming up later in the next week.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yep.
So we'll probably have four games now.
Oh, joy. Huh. Fabulous.
Thank God CB Inc's doing that one.
Yeah. So that'll break up the misery of doing all these game recaps. Let you know again, just a reminder, the RSU get-together in Toronto is at Grace O'Malley's at 14 Duncan Street this coming Saturday at 6 p.m., so if you're in the GTA and you want to watch the game with some Sens fans rather than watching it by yourself, there's the get-together to go to. Yep. Anything else?
Special thanks again to Paul and Dan for joining us.
Absolutely. Very kind to share their time with us. Appreciate that. It's only two more weeks till the Olympic break, and I'm looking forward to it because this is getting tiring, quite frankly.
It's my busy time of year, too. So, man.
But the Sens... have one of the lowest number of players going to the Olympics. I mean, there are teams in the league that have 10 going. We have
10?
10. Yeah, there are some teams that have 10.
Detroit's 10? One of them.
Detroit's one. St. Louis.
Chicago. I believe Boston.
We have two or three.
Two.
Okay.
Doug Evans isn't on the team.
No, but I saw somebody say three, and I'm going, okay, so McCulloch, Carlson.
McCulloch. Is Leonard in the taxi squad?
Oh, Leonard is on taxi maybe he's in the taxi squad, so maybe that's the third. All right, well...
I'm very nervous about Sochi.
You nervous about it?
No.
The security concerns?
Yeah.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And if it isn't, then it isn't. But I'm not losing any sleep over it, because I can't control it. This is the way I look at the world.
The Russian military is very strong. They'll have their presence.
Oh, they'll have a lot of presence. So while other teams have a lot of numbers going away, we only have a few, so hopefully the break will work in our favor.
Carlson just use it as motivation anyway.
Exactly. So, until our next night, until our next episode, I should say, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Kong Hei Fat Choi. It's my ship shape. Great escape, I'll bring all my love.